you know, friends, I'm going to get a little excited tonight. Is that okay? Because I'm talking about Holy Spirit tonight. And anything that's about Holy Spirit and Jesus and God just gets me a little riled up. Woo! So I hope you have your Bibles and your notebooks, whether it be paper Bibles or iPhones, you're scrolling or whatever you're doing, flipping. I know God's going to teach us your notebooks. I hope you're ready to write something down in your iPhone notes or in your notebook. There's some points that I really truly believe that God wants to minister to you tonight, and it's going to be good over the next few moments. Slide 3 for us, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for helping us out tonight, for us visual learners. Woo! What a team. All right, the scripture that has inspired this theme that we're on, We See a Church, is from this series built on, what the series is built on is from Matthew 16 and 18. In fact, it's where Jesus said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Will you say it with me? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. I love that he didn't just say I will build the church, right? No, Jesus takes it so personal, and he said, I will build my church. It was something he saw as worth dying for, and scripture says he gave his life for the church, laid his life down, and that we're his bride, and we're beautiful, and we're radiant and white. He loves his church, his body, and guess what, friends? He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his church, and then he says something really bold. Like I read, Jesus says the gates of hell will not overcome. And I know we all think when we look at the world that, oh my goodness, Lord, where are we? The church is so, guess what, friends? God's got this. It's my church, he says, and I'm building it. And he's coming back, and we ain't scared. It's unstoppable. It's ongoing. It's powerful. It's persistent. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He loves his church and nothing can stop God from building his church, even death and hell. Last week we learned about what it means to be a passionate church. Do you remember what we talked about? We talked about being passionate for prayer, passionate for the things of God, right? Passionate for prayer, passionate for praise and worship, passionate for purity, and passionate for people. Some of you are like, people. It's the last thing I want to be passionate for. But Jesus is, I'm sure God is still passionate. It says, number one, he's passionate about people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God is passionate about people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When Jesus is our everything, we see a church that is passionate. Church is white hot in love with Jesus. A church that looks at him with as the apple of our eye. Oh, a church that is in love with Jesus, his church, and his mission. When Jesus is our everything, we are passionate for the things of God. A passionate church. Who wants to be part of a passionate church? Just one of you? My goodness. I hope a couple. Come on, does anyone want to be part of a passionate church? Oh, yeah, I want to be part of something exciting, not something dull and boring. God is exciting, right? Jesus is exciting, and I love that he is that way. Not one of those churches that we just check the box, right, and kind of boring, or where we get to check our watches, and are we done yet kind of thing, right? No. Is this thing over? No, not yet. But it's something that we long for, something that we're excited about, something to be excited about and that I want to be at and participate in and being meaningful in my contribution. And, oh, it's beautiful to be part of the life and ministry of the local church. A passion that looks like this, the zeal for God's house consumes me. That's what Jesus said. Right, I want to have a passion like Jesus. Jesus, help me to have a passion that consumes me for the house of God. So today I want to talk to you about, that was last week, that was for free. If you want to watch that whole thing, go ahead, it's on YouTube. I want to talk to you about another distinction tonight. Excuse me, I need my water. Another distinction, you ready for another distinction tonight? And that is, we see, you ready for this? You're going to get tired of me saying this tonight. We see a church that says yes to all that God has for us. Can you say all that God has for us? I know, like I said, you're going to get crazy in a few minutes. Let me say it this way. All we have, friends, is not all that God has for you. All I have, where I'm at in my spiritual formation, where I'm at in looking like Christ or the mind and character of Christ is not all that God has for me. God has so much in store for you and I and for your family and for this church and for this city, as Kevin was crying out before God today, for our neighbors. God has so much in store. He is a God of abundance. and a God of more. So often in Christian culture, which let me just explain that for a minute, we have host culture that we've been planted in as Christians or Christians or Christ followers, but Christian culture is often, you know, found in churches or whatever, and we have Christianese language and, you know, say things that the people don't understand, you know, and that's Christian culture, right? We have traditions and sacraments, and it's beautiful. These are all good things. I love them. So many people get what I would call just enough, though, in our Christian culture. To get by, some might call it fire insurance, right, if you believe in hell still. Or your golden punch pass to heaven punched, right? I'm saved and I'm good. I love it. I'm glad that we're saved too. It's really good. I just want enough to get me into heaven, right? Squeak in under the gate smelling like smoke. Whoop, I'm in. Or to get me out of this Jesus, right? Whatever situation that you might have found yourself in or actually put yourself in, maybe. Come to your senses, like the Bible says about the wayward son and the prodigal son. That's just all I want. That's all I need, right? That's enough for me. Well, friends, I believe God is way more here in this moment. And I'm here. God has me here to let you know tonight that God has more for you. And that we see a church that is on a spiritual journey. It's consistent and constant journey of spiritual formation. Some call it discipleship. It's looking more and more like our teacher, who is Jesus, right? Students who become more like our teacher. Because all that I have is not all that God has for me. Where I am at in my spiritual journey, in my growth and my maturation, my maturity, is not the end of the road. I haven't arrived yet. Not glorified. Don't have it all figured out. And if you do, I'm just going to give you a moment to step out. This is a church where we don't have it all figured out. Is that okay? No one's perfect in here. Whew, good, I can stay. We're good. Jesus, we need you. Oh, man. So what I want to do today is encourage you to go after all that God has for you. We see a church, friends, that says yes to all that God has for us. Let me show you a verse out of 1 Corinthians. This is slide 4 for us. If you have your Bibles, phones. If not, it'll be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. And I love this verse because in the verses just before this, it talks about a previous generation who couldn't say yes to all that God had for them. They really were missing out on all that God had. And then Paul comes along and quotes the Old Testament of all things. We're living in the New Testament, Paul. Get with the times, right? But he quotes the Old Testament and says in verse 9, however, as it is written, no eye has seen. So in other words, your eye hasn't seen it yet, but it's there. No ear has heard. It's there, but you haven't even heard about it yet. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love. And so many think that this is talking about heaven, but it's not talking about heaven, friends. It's talking in present tense. But God, it continues, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. He has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And then he introduces this term that, again, most Christians know very little about. And the word in the Greek here for spirit is the word pneuma. It's actually where we get the word, English word, pneumonia, which is like a breathing and lung problem, right? Disorder. Because the real word in the Greek is breath and energy and life and wind. And wind is unique because it's there and you can feel it. Oh, there it is. Oh, you can't see it. You can see the effects of it, but you cannot see it. Listen, that's the word there that the Bible is using. And watch this in this next line. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. See, God is calling you to the deeper things that he has for you. God has more for you, friends. And God is looking for a church that says yes to all that God has for you tonight. There's more that you can go after. And tonight, I'm inviting you today, tonight into this place with a goal not to scare you off or to confuse you, but to provide clarity around something that you actually want, something that you actually need and desire. I don't know about you, but friends, we are alive in a time of unrest and there's chaos all around the world. If you look at the news, you don't have to look for very long to say, God, what's going on in our world? It's crazy out there, right? And we hide in our bunkers. Oh, Jesus, help us. Chaos, confusion, all sorts of division and hatred and strife and racism. Who knows where it's all going, right? But one thing I know is I have no desire, friends, to live this life operating on my own wisdom, operating on my own strength and my own know-how. I know a couple things, but I know I do not know enough to get by in the world around me. It's crazy out there. I need Jesus and I need all that he has for me. And I hope there's someone else in the house tonight that is willing to say yes, Jesus, to all that you have for us. Yeah, it's so good. I'd like to have the power and presence of God operating in my life, in our church, in our families, any kids, in our sex life. Can I say that in here? In our finances. Oh, I want the power and presence of God in these things. I don't want anything in my life to be stuffed away in a closet from Jesus. Come on, friends, does anyone else in the house want the power of God working in you? I know I do. And Paul says this in slide 5, 1 Corinthians. He says, I'm desperate for it. My messaging and my preaching are not going to be just me, though, and my degree. Here's what he says. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So what? So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yes. I mean, Paul would have graduated from the seminary of the day with honors on the wall and a fancy thing around his neck, probably fancy hat, you know, like doctor's degree or who knows, whatever. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, memorized the entire Torah from back to, from back, whatever you, front to back, back to front back then, I think. Intellectual and accomplished, right? He said, I don't just want my intellect. I want a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith and my faith doesn't rest on my humanity or on human wisdom, but on God's power. And a couple chapters later, same book, slide 6, says it this way. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Beautiful. God is inviting us to so much more than just talking about it. He gives us the power and the presence to live within us. So good. And friends, that's what I want to invite you into that, into this. I want to see you and I being able to live and give and serve and love, not through your wisdom or through your abilities or through your energy even, right? Your talent and intellect, but through the power of God in the earth today. God has more for you. All we have is not all that God has for us. So I'm going to give us a little theological teaching. And then I'm going to make it really personal and practical for you tonight. Is that okay? Let me give you three things that I believe God wants for you tonight. Now, if I was to use a theological term or biblical terms, a term that the Bible is inviting you into are called baptisms. Many of you may not know this, but baptism doesn't necessarily refer to the moment that you were dunked in water, right? In fact, the word itself really has little to do with water specifically. The word baptizo, and if you've been around this church for any length of time, we talk about being pickled in the Holy Spirit every once in a while. But the word baptizo in the Greek literally means to immerse yourself in. So let me just give you a quick synopsis of that. You're a pickle, right? And you're dipped in water. You come out a pickle. Right? Oh, sorry, come out a cucumber. I'm talking cucumbers here. I'm going crazy here. Cucumber dipped in water. You're just dipped in. You're pulled out. It's still cucumber. Take a cucumber again and immerse it, baptizo it, meaning to leave it in there and let the brine transform it into a delicious, crunchy, big pickle. I am being immersed and I'm left in the brine, the solution of the Holy Spirit, and it's transforming me. I'm going to look the same. I'm going to act kind of the same. I'm going to have some similar. He doesn't change my personality and make me all crazy and weird, but I am transformed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm immersed. Baptized. So wherever you are now, whatever depth that you are in or at, it's an invitation to us to go ahead and dive on in tonight. Is that okay? You bring your swimming trunks? Don't worry about it. We'll just dump in anyway. The way we often say it in our culture is to go all in. You've probably heard that in sports. Probably, I don't even know. I don't know much about sports. I'm not very athletic, as you can see. I've got a jelly bean shirt on, for goodness sakes. All in. See, sometimes we just want to be like, put my toe in the water, right? Oh, toes in. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about jumping all the way in and going all in for Jesus. And the Bible refers to these three baptisms that I'm going to invite you into tonight. Some of you have taken these steps, some of you haven't. And we're going to offer that invitation tonight as well. The first baptism, and some of you may have maybe have never heard salvation put this way, but in slide 7, the scripture calls salvation baptism into the body of Christ. So we're going to talk about the first baptism. It's salvation. And let me show you this in scripture, slide 8 for us as well. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says this, "For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body." In other words, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you're not just joining Jesus in his private club, right? You also join his crazy family. It's messy and it's fun, but you're joining more than just Jesus. You're actually being baptized into Christ and into his body. And by the way, you need Jesus. Jesus is the best part of salvation, right? By far. But God is more for you. He offers you his family, voila, to be part of his body. This is why we gather, not only on Sunday, but even beyond the 1 hour on Sunday into the 167 hours of the rest of the week, because we're part of a body. We're not disconnected, a hand over there and a foot over there. We're actually integral. It's mutuality. It's togetherness. It's the body of Christ we're being baptized into. And this is part of our, this is salvation into Christ and his body. You cannot be attached to Christ without being attached to his body, the head, which is Christ, who is the power, the authority. Oh, it's beautiful. Life and ministry together, and this is we do it in prayer and at tables and serving in small groups and calling your friend, you know, your brother and sister. Hey, I thought of you today. I'm praying for you today. Hey, I noticed you didn't rake your leaves. I'm not calling to judge. I'm actually calling to see if I can help. It's body, right? Body ministry. The body together. It's lovely. It's God's design. If this wasn't really true, then there actually would be no need for us to even gather. We would just get all of our wonderful information off of our favorite YouTube channel as individual Christians. But we are not individualists. God did not design us that way as the body of Christ. We aren't just individual Christians. We are a spiritual family that God actually elevates above bloodlines and lineage. We're the flock of God. We're the body of Christ. These are group terminologies that Scripture continues to use over and over again. See, some of you have confessed that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're saved from sin, right? We'll live eternally with Christ, but there's so much more for you, and that's why you're here. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but you're here because you've learned that being part of the body of Christ is part of saying yes to all that God has for us. Galatians, slide 9 for us. Galatians 3. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. You were baptized into salvation. You have clothed yourself. You've put on Christ. Right? This is salvation for free, friends. This is the first and very important baptism. Now, the second experience, which, to be very clear, is separate, and they are separate on purpose, and they are separate so that you don't try to blend them together. And I'll show you why in a minute. The second baptism that Scripture informs us of is this in slide 10. We're talking about water baptism. It's a public declaration of my faith. It's where now you go public or have a public declaration of your decision to trust Jesus as your forgiver and your leader. Your declaration of, I'm all in. I trust you, Jesus. Scripture says that you are saved by grace through faith and not of any kind of work. It's important to understand that salvation is through faith alone. Water baptism, friends, is not a way to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do, no work that you can do to earn your favor with God or to earn your salvation. It's God's grace through your faith that you receive this free gift of life and goodness of Jesus in Christ. Jesus fully paid for your sins and my sins on the cross. And it's a free gift. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And I've been baptized into Christ and into his body through faith. Yet scripture informs us once again in slide 11, Acts 2 and 41, those who accepted his message were baptized. Those who accepted the message. This is, it's talking about the first baptism, were baptized. They accepted the good news of Jesus and like, oh, I'm all in, and sakes, I'm going to get baptized. Second baptism. In other words, they now decided to go public and let others know, I'm all in. I've decided to publicly follow Jesus. Loud and proud. And you need to know, this is part of the more, that it's not about being a private Christian. God hasn't called you to be a private Christian. Some people might say, well, I've got Jesus in my heart. It's my private faith. No, friends. It's time to publicly acknowledge God. And it's an important step that some of you have omitted. And it's important that once you have accepted the good news of Jesus, you've become a follower of Jesus, that you don't keep it all to yourself. You don't keep it private, but that you do go public with your faith. Yes. It's why you have a wedding when you get married. It's why you wear a ring when you get married, right? This ring, my ring, doesn't make me married to Angela, right? This is my public declaration of a commitment that I made to her, that I will love her for the rest of my life, that I will care for her and nurture her. Can you imagine? Babe, I really love you, but can we not have a public wedding so that not all my friends find out? Or my family, for some of you, right? God, is it okay? Like, maybe we'll have a quiet wedding, like in a living room, which some of us did. Anyway, how about I just don't wear my ring so that when I'm out in public, you know, the other girls won't know that we're married? No, it's crazy, right? If that's your perspective of relationship commitments, man, we're in trouble, right? And if you're single, I want to remind you, singleness is not brokenness. Marriage is not the epiphany of arrival on this earth. Just so you know, it's okay to be single. God loves you like that. He's designed you, and he wants to walk it out with you. If you're married, work on commitment. It's okay. It's good for us. Where was that? That was for free, of course. Because we all know that it's really important that once you make a lifelong commitment to the one who saved your soul, that you acknowledge it. Party! I mean, we have a wedding, for goodness sake, and we're just two commoners getting together, you know, and woo, marry me, love it. But when the God of the universe saves my soul from eternal damnation and stops, you know, I'm not caught up in all the sin and shame and doubt and reckless living, man, I want to have a party about it. I want to go public with it. I want it to be better than my wedding. Can I? I think I can do that. In fact, Jesus said it this way. Let me show you this in scripture so that we can help us. It's not all me just making this stuff up, right? In slide 12, Matthew 10 and 32 says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But, I love big buts in scripture. Remember, But whoever disowns me, this is not a positive one, unfortunately. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. God cares about you saying yes to all that he has for you. God is a God of covenant. God is a God of commitment. And it's about acknowledging, going public with my faith before mankind. I am all in. So, not just in your heart privately. Great start, friends. If that's you, I'm not here to embarrass you or shame you or make you feel like a second-class citizen. Hey, I'm just saying, hey, God has more for you, and you can take that step tonight and say, you know what? I want to go public with my faith. I want to be all in and say yes to all that God has for me. It's a great start, right? But let me encourage you, you who have never been baptized, water baptized, second baptism, since you've received the baptism into Christ and into his body through faith in Jesus, I believe you, Jesus, that you are the Lord, that you are the Christ, and I want to follow you and give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your free gift of life and your party, and then you take another step and sign up for baptism. Right? To publicly declare our faith through water baptism. We see a church, friends, that says yes to all that Jesus has for you and I, who pursues all that God has for us. And there is another baptism that is yes, as the scripture informs us of. And guess what, friends? The Bible talks about this one more, by multiples actually, than the first two. And that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Slide 13. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is about living a Spirit-empowered life. Spirit-empowered life, meaning I don't have to do this on my own, not on my own wisdom, not on my own strength. This experience is beyond, or some might say, subsequent to your salvation experience. In fact, salvation is actually about your eternal existence with God. And baptism in the Holy Spirit is about your natural earth existence, so that you can live in the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered to trample on those things that keep trying to tear you down and the enemy continues to try distracting you with. But you can walk in the power and the anointing and the influence and the presence of God and say, get behind me, Satan. I am baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ living within me. Spirit-empowered life, to live your natural earth existence here, empowered beyond your own strength, beyond your own wisdom. You might say, Pastor Chris, why would God want to complicate these things? See, God offers a free gift of salvation through faith, and it's for everybody. It's accessible. It's free. It doesn't require your works to earn it. You don't have to come in squeaky clean. You don't even have to own a Bible. You don't have to know anything about Jesus. But when you hear that good news of salvation in Christ Jesus, and you say, pick me, it's all it takes. God, I'm all in, right? It's free and it's beautiful. It's accessible. Doesn't require you to work for it. Yet God also has more for you. And I'll show you all three baptisms in one story and in one theological point. And then I'm going to get really personal with you. Is that okay? In the book of Acts, which if you're new to churching or new to the Bible, the book of Acts is the history of the early church, the first church. So Jesus was, you know, just walking around the earth and talking with people and, hey, dude, how you doing? You know, kids are all around him, right? And he gets killed on a cross and then he resurrects 3 days later. Thank goodness, because all of his disciples were like, what? I thought he was the Messiah. And then Jesus comes back to life through the same power of the Holy Spirit we're talking about and says, hey, Peter and Paul and John and everybody. And they're like, woo, this is the Messiah. This is the story we're talking about. So now the church is being born. They're so excited to go plant a new church. Love it. So Jesus was just resurrected in Acts 8. We're at slide 14. Acts 8, 5 and 12. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. But when they believed, first baptism, we're talking about salvation now, Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Baptized. Second baptism. And it was for everybody, both men and women. Everybody got baptized, right? Skipping down to verse 14 of slide 15 we have for you as well. That's Acts 8 and 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria just had revival and there's all kinds of people who accepted the word of God, the apostles heard, hey, a bunch of people just got saved. Let's go see what's going on. They sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, watch this, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, we're talking about third baptism here, had not yet come upon any of them. And then it gives even more clarity. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, went old school, and they received the Holy Spirit. Ha ha. It's a separate experience, friends. It's one that God takes you to a deeper place in the things of God, gives you more of all that God has for you. Us too. Not necessary for salvation, but totally necessary to live a Spirit-empowered life here and now on this earth. Here and now. I love it. Now, it's always worth bringing this up because, as we all know, so many Christians are often hesitant to pursue baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some are downright resistant of that gospel message. Some are scared, and it's okay. Like, we're going to talk about this. I mean, we've all seen those crazy videos on YouTube of people calling Holy Spirit and handling snakes. Bah! Convulsions and whoo, whoo. barking like dogs, you know, linguistic seizures or whatever it might look like, right? Like plain weird, right? But that is not what we're talking about. Whew, thank goodness. How many of you know that you can be spirit-filled without being spooky? Amen is right. God is a gentleman. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He has no desire to scare you or to control you or to make a fool out of you. It would be terrible, friends, if our experience or perspectives of someone else's experience was to dictate what our experience could be and what God is teaching in His Word. Kick YouTube to the can some days. It's full of crap anyways. Get in the Scripture and see what it has to say. Now, let me show you the theology of this in Scripture. And I love how this scripture gives us a picture of the Godhead, or Trinity, as some would say as well. Slide 16, 1 John. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 5, 78. For there are three that bear what? Witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So there are three that are alive and at work right now in heaven. Now, let me show you more about this. Now, the Word, the Bible says, is Jesus. I don't have a scripture for you, but it's in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. This means before everything happened was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus, friends. And verse 7 finishes with, and these three are one. Now watch the next verse in verse 8. And there are three that also bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, there are three witnesses on earth. Now, the blood is talking about salvation. That's the work of Christ on the cross. The water is your baptism, your water baptism, your public declaration. But the Spirit is that pneuma, that wind, that breath, that energy, that power that we just talked about. It's all the spiritual gifts. It's all that God has for you here and now for you to walk out your days on this earth, Spirit empowered, not on your own strength. Isn't He good? And guess what? These three agree as one as well. But here's the tension. So many do not agree with them. Many say, hey, I want the blood, right? I want to be saved. I want salvation from my sins and to go to heaven, of course. And I may or may not even express it publicly through water baptism. But God is saying all these three agree as one. There's more for you, friends. We see a church that says yes to all that God has for you. What I have is not all that God has for me. This is why we kick off the year with prayer and with fasting in pursuit of God. God, I want more of your wisdom, God. I want more of your power and presence, God. I want more of your anointing, more of your Spirit. I want to see more of God's power working in this church and through this church. I want to see more people take steps towards God and the plans and that He has for us. And for our lives, I want to see more healings in 2023. I want to see more miracles in 2023. I want to see more marriages restored in 2023. I want to see people walking in victory from addictions and those things that we just can't seem to, those broken habits we just can't seem to get over. This is your year. If you say yes to all that God has for you, He has so much more for you. And if that's what you're looking for too, and you want to go on that journey with me, you are in the right place, friends, because that's who we are as a church, passionate for the things of God. We will say yes to all that God has for us. So the question might be then, why don't we? Why don't we? Let me make it personal and practical now. Why don't we? I want to show you three reasons for why we don't. Why we don't say yes to all that God has for us. And it's not that you, there, let's go to the first one. Slide 17, some are just uninformed. So why don't we say yes to all that God has for us? Some of us are just simply uninformed. It's not that you rejected it or are resisting what God has for you. It's just that you didn't even know about it. Simple, right? And if that's you, again, you have found the right place. I mean, even at the end of the book of Acts, right? When we read book of Acts, we see people being woo, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're filled again and filled again, and there's all kinds of crazy things. People being raised from the dead and speaking in tongues and miracles. And you're like, woo, praise the Lord. But even in the book of Acts, when you see the early churches being filled, baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit, prophesying, yet there was still people towards the end of the book who still didn't know what baptism in the Holy Spirit was. They were just simply uninformed. So if you want to flip with me or scroll over to chapter 19 of Acts, in slide 18, Apollos and Paul are headed to Ephesus, which is in what we call modern-day Turkey right now. There they are, tromping over to Ephesus, Apollos and Paul. And while Apollos was at Corinth, it says, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. He found some Christians and asked them, watch this question. And I'm asking this of us today, friends. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is even a Holy Spirit. Right? Christians, disciples, saved, going to heaven, rejoicing down the glory road. Salvation by grace through faith, but they just hadn't received all that God had for them. And this is what we do as a church, as an apostolic church of Pentecost. Our primary concern is to see those who are far from God come to know Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and to take steps to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. I know sometimes we think church primarily exists for us, but friends, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than me. And there's so much more to God and what he has for you and I in 2023. And for not just for you, but also for those that you're surrounded by, where God has intentionally planted you in your place of where you live, you work, you play, you study. You're not there happen chance, friends. God planted you there for a reason. And he has more for those around you through the work of the Holy Spirit in you and through you. He wants to touch lives around you. It's beautiful to partner with God. Salvation is just the beginning of your journey into eternity with Jesus. See, the reason why we don't know, we're just flat out uninformed. So one of the why don'ts we is that we're simply uninformed. Now, some are informed, and this is, I would believe, a dangerous place to be. And I'm just going to be straight up, slide 19. Why don't we? Some have grown apathetic. Like, I just need enough, God, to get by. Safe looking amount, right? I don't want to look like those YouTube people. Enough to not really disrupt my lifestyle, right? Mess up my hair. Some are spiritually apathetic. Now, the word for apathetic comes from two Latin words, apathos, meaning without passion. And we just learned about that last week. So I'm saved, right? Punched my golden punch pass to heaven. Ding, you're done. You're ready to go. But I'm not really one of those all-in kind of people. Like we learned last week, living without passion. Not really that excited for the things of God. Now, friends, I truly believe that it's my job to warn us, to warn you as an under-shepherd of Christ and as a pastor, as an overseer. You cannot afford to be lukewarm in your spiritual journey. Right? Or spiritually apathetic. I want to warn you about becoming spiritually apathetic in your life. See, when times are normal and everything is kind of humdy-dum and the bank is full of money and your job is working and your relationships are okay, kind of normal, right? Everything's ticking right along for you. You can honestly kind of get by with very little passion because everything's good, woo. But when you are facing hell and high water in your life, friends, when things are not going the way that you had hoped they would go in your life or in a pandemic or when you get that recent diagnosis and you can't pay the rent at the end of the month, that breakup after 15 years of marriage in the middle of your chaos, God help you if you are lukewarm in your spiritual fervor. Mediocre, just enough, couple Sundays a year kind of thing. Got my toes in the water in the things of God. I know I'm preaching, but God wants to talk to somebody today. Honey, you're going to need a whole lot more than that. You might say, well, Pastor Chris, I just don't go there. Not wired that way, right? There's a word used in chemistry, and I'm no scientist. Thank goodness. It's a scientific term called entropy. Now, entropy is how energy is measured and dispersed. And entropy's thesis says that if you leave anything alone, it doesn't stay there. It gets worse. It declines. It gets less than. And some of you, friends, that's what your spiritual life looks like and has looked like. And then 2021 came along, and then 2022 came along, and a pandemic, and financial pressures, and your relationship dynamics, your stuff out of control, and your family, and you're isolated, and you're upset, and you're confused. And again, God help you in those moments. Friends, there is never a time in your life where it's okay to be apathetic, to be lukewarm, to be mediocre in your relationship with God. It is always time to be all in, to go all in for the things of God, to say yes to all that God has for you in here and now. Not just for fun, but for function. Holy Spirit's not here to fill all your fun bags either, right? He is here to help you not just survive, but to thrive. Even when everything else around you feels like desolation, all of a sudden there's a stream in the desert, and you are like a tree that's planted by that river of life. And that is why we studied this last week in Romans 12, slide 20. I won't go too far in this one. Romans 12 and 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal, in your passion. This word zealous in the Greek means white hot, boiling over, passion for Jesus, right? But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Friends, don't be lacking in zeal and spiritual fervor for the things of the Lord. Last one of the three of why don't we? Slide 21, some just simply have fear or afraid. Some of you are afraid that God is going to use you to do things that you frankly are just afraid of doing. Maybe it's talking to a stranger about the goodness of God. Maybe it's about making some corrections in your passions or in the function of your family. Maybe it's going public with your faith in your family or in your workplace. Maybe it's, I don't want to be criticized in my workplace anymore, Chris. I get it, friends. They're going to cancel you. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Scared of what it looks like to do the things that God has asked us to do. Maybe you're thinking, how in the world is this actually going to make things better for me then? Don't you know, Pastor Chris, that these things are going to get worse? No, friends. See, the enemy, the devil, we don't talk about him very much around here some days. He's a liar, by the way. And he whispers half-truths in your ear. And you've been listening too long. And it sounds kind of convincing. Can you kick the devil out tonight and say, devil, get behind me in my anxiety. Get behind me in depression. Get behind me in doubts and fear. I do not want to be afraid, right? I want to say yes to all that God has for me. Oh, you liar devil. James, or where are we at? Slide 22. James 1 and 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Friends, everything good in your life, everything perfect in your life is actually from God. It's a gift from God. Say thanks for it and keep trucking. And he ain't changing, honey. Right? It says, I'm not changing. I'm a God that is forever consistent. He still only desires good for you, by the way. Sometimes we doubt that he wants good for us and we're afraid. God, why would you punish me? God's not punishing you. God's trying to help you learn something as you go through that situation that you're going through. And he wants to give you all that he has for you. So here's my challenge this year. Will you take this whole year? I'm I'll take a couple weeks. No, will you take this whole year, friends, and just test it out? Test God in this principle that I'm teaching, this distinctive that I'm teaching you tonight, and say yes to all that God has for you. Slide 23 is our caption. We see a church who says yes to all that God has. Write that down, friends. I want you to stick that in your fridge and on your mirror and on your headboard, on your dashboard. I'm saying yes to God, to all that God has for me in this year. I mean, I'm saying yes. It's like I'm going all in this whole year even. And watch and see what God will do in you and through you this year. If you're physically able to be in worship and in church on Sunday, be there. If you can get into a city group and get in a group. If you can pray and fast, jump into praying and fasting. If you're too busy, cancel it. We're calling you all the time. Tell them, hey, no, I'm going to church. Set some boundaries in your life again. I'm being all in. Say no sometimes. It's okay. I'm saying, hey, friends, what you have and where you are in your spiritual formation is not all that God has for you. Let this year be a year of saying yes to all that he has for you and I. Your life will change dramatically for the good. It's not my promises. We just read the word of God and see the promises that are stamped in there for us. Oh, let this become the best year of your life spiritually. It's critical, friends. Here's a closing story, and then we're going to pray, because that's what family does. It's a prophecy. It's a cool story. It's from one of those ancients, a prophet named Ezekiel, in slide 24. The prophet saw a man with a measuring tape. Psst. Ezekiel 47 and 3. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. The picture is, you're here, but God wants you there. And that's what I'm inviting you tonight to do. You're ankle deep. There's more, though. I would even submit to you today that this is being a picture of salvation. Ankle deep, you took your first step into the water. You said yes to Jesus, yet there's more for you. You're not fully wet. You're in, but you're not all in. He goes on, he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was up to my waist. He's inviting you, or has invites you, to take another step, water up to the waist. Like I'm in a small group now, and I'm serving at church, and I'm volunteering for like-minded organizations even. Hey, I'm going to heaven, right? Maybe even water baptized. Yet there's more. God has more for you. So he goes on. The picture continues. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. Now I find myself in the middle of the river with my feet off the ground, and I'm going wherever that river takes me, wherever that river goes. And it was a river that I could not cross. In other words, I lost control. And for some of you, that's been your condition. I'll do this and I'll do that, but I'm not giving up everything. And guess what? You'll never experience the best that God has for you as long as you are the one in control of your life. See, you can kick yourself off the throne of your heart and invite Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart and let him have lordship instead of you and wanting to be. Hey, I get it, friends. We're all there sometimes, if we want to be honest. But you will never experience the most and the best that God has for you if you are the one in control. And let's look how it ends in slide 25, Ezekiel 47, verse 9. And maybe we'll finish this and then we'll put some music on in 47:9. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. Some of you are feeling a little salty tonight. And need some healing, need some refreshment, need some life, teeming with life. So where the river flows, everything will live. In other words, friends, there is where everything works. Everything is thriving. Friends, there's so much favor and blessing and power when Holy Spirit is operating in your life, when it's teeming with life, where the river flows, everything, no matter what is going on in your life, everything lives when you surrender absolute control to God. So friends, I came here today to bring you this message. And to offer and to give a chance to you, to give me a chance even to lead you on a journey to more in God in this 2023 season. Because not all you have is all that God has for you. Can we turn on some music in the background for a moment? Friends, we see a church that says yes to all that God has for us. Can I hear a small amen this evening? I'm going to give a moment if we would, all around the room, if we would just close our eyes and bow our heads and take a couple moments to just to pause, to reflect, to let your ear hear the word of the Lord. What is the Spirit saying tonight to you?